seems to fall apart in life. Every direction. And it feels like you're right there on the battlefront. Hang on. God is up to something. Amen. When everything seems to come against you. This week, amen, he's had all kind of battles. But that just sharpens you up and sharpens you up for the things of God.
Amen.
Amen. Worship the Lord and let's just get in tune tonight. God bless Brother Maines tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, come on. I know he's been better than that to us. Come on, lift your hands tonight. Lift your voice tonight. God, we magnify you. Come on, do it tonight like you mean it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, do it with me for a moment. God, we give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice to him tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, worship the Lord with me tonight. Come on, get your mind off the things of the world and get your mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, if you can't do anything else, lift your hands and say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I magnify you. Come on, I wish you could do it on your own tonight. Come on, without being pressed, without being primed. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, you feel that right there? As we begin to magnify the King, something begins to shift. Woo, Shanda Debakaye. Come on, you acting out in that praise tonight. It just might be the key for somebody praying through. It might be the key for somebody receiving the Holy Ghost. Come on, turn loose of that praise tonight. God, I love you. God, I worship you tonight. God, I magnify your name. You're on the throne. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, I love Jesus tonight. Amen. I am mighty, mighty thankful to know that he's mindful of me still. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful tonight to know that he is on the throne. It don't matter how bad my day may be. It don't matter what I'm going through. He's the same. We can walk into church on a Tuesday evening. And we can give God everything we have just like we would on a Sunday night. I don't believe in just being apostolic in demonstration on a Sunday night because I'm Pentecostal. I believe it's a lifestyle. I believe we should be able to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting in praise and in prayer. Hallelujah. Woo! Everything going on the last couple days, my mind went back to an old song that would be sung. And it's, if you're in the battle for the Lord and the right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we will all face if we die still fighting. It's no disgrace. Cowards in the service will not find a place, so keep on the firing line. Because all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord. And if you love the Lord tonight, don't make him guess whether you love him or not. Woo! God, I don't know how things are going to work out, but God, I'm putting it all in your hands. God, I don't know what's coming on the next turn, but God, I'm still going to give you glory. God will only use the soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you must. But keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the master dear. Help to banish evil and to help spread good cheer. Woo! Great, you'll be rewarded for the service here. So keep on the firing line. Because it's going to be worth it all. Woo! On that day, it's going to be worth it all, my friend. Hey, hallelujah. We might lose it all, Job, but God will restore it 2 times. Well, I wish I had about 100 people believe that tonight. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful to know that he's still a good God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I give honor tonight to your good pastor and his wife and the vision that they have cast for this church. And I still believe, and I believe it with my whole heart. I told an evangelist today, he said, "Where you at?" And I said, "I'm at a church with a vision." And he said, "I'm a church that I can't wait to leave." You don't even know what you have. I'm glad we got one hand clap tonight. Woo! You don't know how blessed you are. That was my answer to him. He said, "Where you at, I'm at?" I said, "I'm at a church with a vision." And he said, "Well, that's good. I can't wait to leave where I'm at." So I didn't even ask where he was. Because if I go there, I'll still stir up trouble. It's okay. Amen. Folks, don't ever take for granted what you have. And let me help somebody just real quick. Let me tell you how to stay in love with what you have by staying involved with what you got. There's plenty of stuff to do for the kingdom right here. Oh boy, I'm already feeling a shift. Holy Ghost. Amen. Fall in love with your church. Catch the vision. And adapt the vision to where you fall in love with it. Because it's one thing for the vision to be cast. It's a whole nother ball game when you adapt the vision. Because when you catch a hold of the vision, then you make sure the vision's facilitated. It's not about just praying a bunch of people through. That's not the end result of praying a bunch of people through. It's praying people through and establishing them in the kingdom. I don't want to be a part of a revival where we pray 100 people through and we baptize 200 people and 3 people stay. I want to be a part of a revival where we baptize one gets a Holy Ghost, and we establish one. And then that one turns to 2, 2 to 4, 8. Hey, hey, hey. And then next thing you know, you're going to have to knock out picnic tables and volleyball things, and this will turn into a fellowship hall, a big old sanctuary to be built over there. Because of that one. Amen. I'm too wound up tonight, y'all. I've had a really bad 2 days, so I'm just letting Jesus have a good time tonight. Amen. Because there's over 100 folks here tonight, okay? So you watch this. If every one of you quit trying to win the world and you won one person. Quit trying to win the world and fall in love with one. That's revival. And if pastor preaches something else, then y'all jihad with pastor. Amen? Amen. Okay, cool. Jesus. But if each one won one within the next 6 months, and then that happened 3 times, this building wouldn't be able to contain it. You'd have to start running 5 or 6 buses every service. Amen, 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 amen. Well, I'm going to preach about Tim Main tonight. I ain't preaching to nobody else in this building. But if you get something tonight, praise God. Amen. So I'm going to preach to Tim Main so that way I don't upset anybody. Amen? Amen. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 15, and to each of our guests tonight, whom you may be, I give you honor tonight and I say thank you for joining us for a time of worship. But I do say to you that you be obedient and you respond to God the way you know how, and God will do the rest. Amen. We're just a bunch of unperfect people serving a perfect God. Amen. Trying to make it to heaven. But we want to do it His way. Amen. Amen. And I love the Lord tonight. I'm thankful for my pastor, and in his absence, I give him honor. And my wife, she did ask that I greet the church for her and to apologize that she has not been able to be with us as much as she liked, pending circumstances. I'll just say that. I do admonish the church, please. Tomorrow is Wednesday the 31st. Tomorrow morning, I believe around 10 o'clock in the morning, is whenever my wife's grandmother raised her. And tomorrow there will be a team of surgeons that will be meeting with her to tell her whether they will be able to do the operation or whether things will progress how they are. So if the church would bind with me in prayer for that need, I believe God is going to turn something that they have said no about into a miracle. Amen. And I believe God's going to use it for His glory. Amen. Amen. And her name is Sheila Green, if you would, tomorrow morning. Bind with me in prayer. We more than anything, we just want God's will to be done. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 15, and it reads, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." And then it says something in verse number 3, that should create a godly fear within every individual, whether you have lived for God for many a year, or whether tonight is your first service. It should prick the heart of everyone the same. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Tonight, by the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach for a little while. His eyes can't see it. Amen. And you may be seated. Like I said, I'm going to preach to Tim Main for a little while. On his own planet, the little boy was just another ordinary child. He was normal. He fit in. He was active. He was a peer's peer. To behold, he was a trophy child. He was a little boy that had no cares of life because in his planet, everything was okay. There was no judgment because everybody seemed to be in accord with one another. But one day, the little boy, if I can just play on word for a moment. But one day, the little boy, he imagined himself in Earth. The little boy would go on a rocket ship. The little boy would show up on Earth, discover that his own ordinary abilities, while in an inferior environment of being superhuman, would find himself comparable to that of what a Superman, a Batman, Captain America, a figment of imagination of a superhero, a little boy that was untouchable, a little boy that everybody wanted to be like. But as the little boy would begin to grow in now earth of what he knew, he would begin in his own way to become stronger than ever. He would begin to become more wise than any other little boys or any other young men. He would be cunning at times, and he would be able, if you would, to overcome the hardest of obstacles with ease. This little boy would become so insecure with himself, because even through all the superpower and even through all the dreaming, a little boy would wake up to a mom and dad that was broken. Make-believe would become realities to where he wasn't really that strong. He was feeble, in fact, malnourished. He would begin to recall the abuse out of the peers, and now he is inferior to everybody else because his world of imagination was over. Imagination was a good time of play. It was hiding under the covers, or perhaps making a fortress to where he was the king. But a little boy would always snap back to reality when the voice in his life would begin to call out in a place of degrading. A mom and dad had a broken relationship, and that way the children were almost automatically a transfer of what the leadership was. Being one of six children, there are times that I can remember little being on the table. Then going into a courtroom and a judge to look at six children, some teenagers, some young, and to stand mom and dad in front of the six children and to tell the children, choose who you want to live with. I would watch as my siblings' head would drop and tears would begin to flow. I wanted to play make-believe again, Brother Crosswhite. More than ever, Tim Maine, I'm going to be very transparent tonight about Tim Maine if I can. I have felt to preach this for about 2 weeks, and I felt the release tonight. Tim Maine, as a little boy, you know, Brother Butler, playing make-believe, you know what my superpower was, is I wanted to be invisible. I've always been a heavier kid. I was always made fun of. I was always everybody's subject of a joke, and I was always the failure of everybody. I was really the peer's peer of what not to become, and I never really liked to play dodgeball because I don't like playing anything I'm shaped like. And it's okay, y'all can loosen up, okay? I'm preaching about Tim Maine. I ain't preaching about nobody else tonight, okay? So I didn't play basketball. I didn't play football. Anything like small and round, I never really fooled with, okay? It just reminded me of me. And so I never got involved in any, but I always wanted to be invisible. I wanted that to be my superpower. There was times of abuse where my dad would go on a rage or my mom would go on a rage. And yes, mothers can be abusive just like a dad can. Okay? And I know this is being recorded and it may be live, and I hope my parents are listening tonight. I will specifically always remember that. that I wanted to be invisible when I left my dad's new baseball glove out in the rain, and it got soaking wet and it become waterlogged with a little bit of dirt, and that turned to mud, and it was a brand new baseball glove, and I'll never forget the beating I got over a baseball glove. I wanted to be invisible at that moment, Sister Cross White, because I knew I wasn't this big, powerful man that I envisioned myself as. Quickly, reality would always come back. I began trying in my own way to become this strong superhero for my younger brother and my younger sister. And I always wanted to be as strong as I could be for them. And I always wanted my younger sister Cassie and my younger brother Jimmy, I always wanted them to be able to see, no matter what we went through, that we could always make it. I wanted them to know that in some weird way that no matter really what happened, there was always going to be something better on the other side. And through all of that hardship and through all of the pain and all the misunderstanding, all the fear, I was never able to become invisible. And I was never able to hide my passion for God away from my friends that I would drive as fast as I could into a place of sin. I could never escape the reality of becoming a failure and even still trying to achieve greatness. Failure was always the inevitable part of where Tim Maine, if I put my hand on it, I knew it was going to fail. This isn't just some comic book superhero story. This is the reality of how a broken young man, where the eyes of the Lord is always going to and fro. It's not just the devil going to and fro, looking to whom he can devour. This was a Sunday school scripture that as a little boy that I held dear to, that God, no matter what I go through, I know you are watching me. You're watching the pain and you're watching the victory. But I know without a doubt in my mind that God, you are watching me. I don't know about you, but that little Sunday school scripture has stuck with me for 35 years or many, many years, and knowing that God was faithful even when I wasn't. That God's goodness is extended, but there is a time where the goodness of God, it begins to look to me like it's judgment, but it's the goodness of God. But in that scripture, there is a very fearful place that would always stick with Tim Maine. And the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. They're watching me in every place. Nothing I'd done was hidden from the Lord. And no matter how bad I wanted to be invisible, I was never hidden from God. In the good and in the bad, I could always say, God, I need help. And as a little boy, I didn't even have the Holy Ghost till I was 17 years old. And my life was a wreck. My life had become a disaster. And that I would go into a place of depression and I would go into a place of misunderstanding. I felt like I was misunderstood by everybody. That is the real reason why I hated church. That is the real reason why I would stand toe to toe with my dad as a young man and I would argue with him vehemently that church was nothing more than just a money grab and that church was nothing more than just a power hunger for a man that would stand in a pulpit and holler at everybody. But the eyes of the Lord are in every place. And as a young man, I didn't understand really why I began to hate God and hate church so bad. Because everything I'd done, sis, it was Tim Maine's fault. God didn't show up and say, hey, you roll that first joint where you would get addicted to marijuana and hey, smoked so much pot from the double bowl bongs, and hey, fall in love with them things, and then fall in love with taking pills, and fall in love with trying to get so high that you would die. I know this might be too raw tonight, but I'm just preaching to Tim Maine for a little while, okay? From the drugs, it would turn to cocaine, and then from cocaine, it would turn into bitter hatred. Pastor Crosswhite, you made mention the other night, and it's burned in my soul ever since. That's the root of a matter, and God had always seen the root. He's seen that the bitterness turned into hatred, and hatred turned into isolation, and isolation would cause Tim Maine to run so far from God that I didn't want anything to do with him. I want every young person in this building to listen to Tim Maine tonight, and I'm asking you, please, if you're playing on your cell phone, if you're doing anything else, if you're taking notes, I want you to listen to Tim Maine right now. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the imagination of every thought of his heart was only evil continually. When Israel was in bondage, God said, I see their oppression. Watch this. What Egypt is doing to their children, their promise never escaped God. You may think that you can run from God, but I promise you, my friend, as fast as Tim Maine was running from God, God stopped me right in my tracks. I didn't feel like I was even loved by God, because invisible people are hard to love. I didn't want to be loved by nobody, because when somebody loves you, that means you are accountable to them. David would declare in 2 Samuel in 22, if you got a haughty spirit, God sees and he'll bring it down. You know what happened to Tim Maine? I began to feel like I was too big for my shoes. Tim Maine would quickly spiral out of control. And then it was Hananiah the prophet would warn the unrighteous King Asa that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. He sees it. He knows it. But as David, he would declare in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You listening to me tonight? I want every guest to listen to me tonight, because that is not the end of that scripture. This is what changed my life. Thine eyes did see my substance.
Yes. Yes. Man.
I was broken, but he seen something in me. I was no good, and I didn't even like him, but he seen my substance. That's why Tim Maine, sitting in a dope house, getting shot up with coke, could hear the dumb little Sunday school songs. Jesus loves me because he's seen my substance. Every individual in this house, I don't care where you are in your relationship with God, he sees something in every individual right now in this house. You're not here. I want every young person to listen to me. I want every middle-aged person to listen to me. It don't matter how broken you may feel. It don't matter whatever thing has happened to you. It don't matter how far from God you feel. His eyes still see your substance. His eyes still see that there is a value in you. If he didn't see the value in you, my friend, then he would never continue to reach. He would never continue to try to go out of bounds and to try to reach for you in the miry of places. And may I say it tonight, the way that Jeremiah would echo it. Jeremiah said that God's eyes were open upon the ways of the Son of Man.
Yes.
And he seen everything that they were doing running from God. It's where the children of Israel would look at the provision of God and they would say, I would to God that we'd be back in bondage. I want to go back to Egypt because I like the fish. I like the loaves. I like the garlic. I like the leeks. What are we going to do with all this stuff? God, we were provided for by the slave master, and now here you are making us work for what you've already given us. My friend, you be dangerously careful when you feel like you can obsolete the voice of God in your life because you're too far gone for God to touch. Tonight I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it with no sugar at all. Tonight I'm going to say to every individual in this house, nothing you do, nothing you say, nowhere that you go, and everything that you think, everything that you think you are, there is a nothing that is hid from the eyes of God. If his eyes are on the sparrow and if he knows the hair that are in my head, then my friend, he knows the intent of my heart. He knows everything about me. There is nothing too good that I can do to merit salvation. And there is nothing too bad that I can do to obsolete salvation. I want you to hear me tonight. I didn't come with a polished, pretty message. I come to testify. If God can touch a young man, then God can touch you. His eyes see your hurt. It's like the handmaiden Hagar. She was cast out. She was rejected. She was hurt by people that she loved so deeply. She is left to die in a desert. And appeared that nobody knew her sorrow, but God saw it. And when God saw that sorrow, there was a well that would spring up in the middle of a desert. And the name of that place would have been dubbed as Beer Lahori. Because he sees me where I am. I would have you to know tonight, ma'am, that in the middle of your wilderness that God can create the sweetest of waters where God would say, hey, this, you've delivered me, and God, now I'm in a wilderness and you see this water of provision. But God, we sit down and we scoop up water and the water's bitter. And he said, hey, I'm going to take the simple and I'm going to take the ignorant things and I'm going to turn that water into the greatest water that you've ever tasted. Go ahead and throw a stick in it and let the waters become sweet again. Let me tell you, even though you can't see God working on your behalf the way that you want God to work, his eyes, they still see tonight. It's the Lord's eyes. They're upon the righteous. And his ears are open to their cry. You hear me? If you have sold out to God and you're living for God, bad things are going to happen. Because to get to the reward, you got to endure. You got to endure some things. He that endureth, run this race with patience. It never told me that the race is going to be easy. It never told me that it's going to be a rosy place living for God. No, we're going to face persecution. We're going to face hardship. And the greatest thing in the world that you can face, my friend, is a condemnation that is rich in your heart from the things that you never wanted to deal with, Tim Main. Tim Main, you better deal with them things while you have a chance to deal with them. Because Tim Main, if you never deal with the bitterness, it's going to cause hatred. And eventually it's going to cause loneliness. And loneliness will drive you to the place where you don't even feel like God loves you. So what's the use of living? Go ahead, Tim Main. Take that gun out of the safe and blow your brains out. Then it's recalled in my mind, Brother Butler, his eyes see. His eyes know. Go ahead, Tim Main, become what everybody said you was going to be. Go ahead, Tim Maine, where your mama and daddy would stand and say, if you don't get your life right, then you'll be in prison or dead by the time you're 21. But little did they know that my little sister would be so ignorant in her inviting me to church that God would take a broken young man and God would take a rejected young man and God would use him for his glory. So don't you tell me that you're too far gone for God to reach. Don't you tell me tonight that God can't do something special with you. I may not be the greatest preacher in the world or the best orator to tell a good story, but I can stand and I can testify that the mercy of God has been rich. I can tell you that the providing hand of God has been absolute. His hand has never wavered in my life. Has it been easy living for God these years? No, it hasn't been easy, but I'm telling you tonight, it's the most rewarding thing I've ever done. Has there been church people hurt me? Yes. Has there been people disappoint me? Yes. But my God has never failed. Hey, hallelujah. Shandadarabakotoharesa. And let me tell you tonight, the things that I have suffered while living for God has never made me want to quit. Because it matters how you handle your fault finders. It matters how you deal whenever the naysayers are getting a lot louder than your dream and your passion. But Tim Maine, you better get your eyes set. You better plant your feet firm. And you better get a vision and you better facilitate that vision. Because there will be times living for God. You don't know how many times I've had other pastors come up to me and my wife while evangelizing. And they've said, come to my church. We'll take good care of you. Why don't you link up with me? Man, if we could link up, we could win the world. You don't know how many times my phone has ringed and they have said, hey, we want you to come to our church. Tim Maine, you better quit listening to persuasive voices. Tim Maine, you better get off social media. Tim Maine, you better quit looking for avenues when you get mad at pastor. Yeah, I'm standing tonight and I'm admitting I have gotten mad at my pastor before. But it matters how I react, Tim Maine. It matters because if I never deal with that root's going to turn into a baby that will turn into a full-grown man. And my friend, you want to know why Tim Maine lives for God like Tim Maine lives for God? It's not because I'm better than anybody. It's because I know there's something within Tim Maine that if I don't keep under control, if I don't pray daily, this is a day-by-day prayer. If I don't push back that plate, if I don't say, no, I can't do that right now. You folks, there has been times that I have rejected fellowship because I knew Tim Maine was not right. Because the greatest thing in the world that we could do as Christians, not as just Pentecostals, I believe in being a Christian more than anything. I want to be Christ-like before I'm religious. Yes. But you hear me tonight, and I'm going to say something very, very pointed, and I know it's going to hurt a lot of your theological bubbles. You better be careful that you don't become powerful before you're spiritual. There you go. Because let me tell you what happened to Tim Maine. Tim Maine started preaching out. Tim Maine started seeing results. So Tim Maine quit praying. Tim Maine, you better get right. Tim Maine, you're becoming powerful, but you're not spiritual. You know what happened almost overnight, Brother Crossway? I started seeing something I recognized where I wanted to be invisible. Now when he came nigh unto the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. I want somebody to hear how much God cares about you. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. She was an important person. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." Hold on. I'm thankful that we serve a compassionate God. Tim Maine, Sister Rachel, I don't know which one of y'all are Rachel, but Sister Rachel, God's been compassionate to Tim Maine. Because while I've been living for God, I have made foolish mistakes. And then I'll lay my head on a pillow at night. And I'll say, "God, if I don't wake up, I want to go to heaven." I'm closing tonight. Ma'am, I'm talking to a woman right now. I want you to hear me. I don't know you and you don't know me, and we've never spoke audibly. You walked through them back doors a few minutes ago. He already knows it all. The hurtful past, but hear me, the painful present. The suffering. Watch, ma'am, hear me, please. And even the sin that has been exposed and unexposed. He knows your thoughts. So before you came to church this evening, I can come and put my hand on you right now. Before you came to church this evening, you said, "Why am I even going to church? It's pointless." You showed up tonight because God cares about you. Nothing's hidden from God. Let me show you how much God can't see. Let me help somebody. Let me show you how much God can't see. Okay? This is in your Bible. He could see the rebellion of Lucifer's heart. He could see the sin of Adam and Eve. He could see the wickedness of man before the flood. He could see the abominations of man at Babel. He could see the sins of adultery. If you're playing on your telephone, get off your telephone. I don't know who you are, but I keep feeling a spirit of distraction tonight like no other. Folks, if you have ever been in a service, tonight should be one of the most important services you'll ever be in. If you're too busy on your telephone, my friend, I am telling you tonight, there is a warning for you. Would you lift your hands with me, please? Pray God loves you. You better hear it. God could see the sin of adultery and murder that David had committed. He could see Nathanael while he was sitting under the fig tree. He could see the precise place of the denial of the disciples. He could see the instantaneous spirit that would attach to Judas when Judas would make fun of how somebody worshiped. He could see the change in Demas. And he also seen when the prosperity of the wicked becomes so great that his foot almost slipped. Them things he can see. He knows how far Tim Maine has failed. He knows how far Tim Maine has run. But there is something more powerful than what he can see. And what is more powerful than what he can see is what he has forgotten. When you come to the altar, you're not just coming to an altar. I don't know if I have said this to this church, but I'm going to say it because I keep feeling to talk about it. Where I'm standing right now is not a place of judgment. It is not a place of bashing, and it is not a place of embarrassment. This is a place where you lay your heart down for God. This is the place where God forgets. Tim Main, you want to be invisible? Lay your life down to God. The make-believe of a little boy, Brother Butler, is what has been saved, Brother Main. Because when I'm in the altar and I'm laying out sin, and I'm laying out things that I have done that I'm not proud of, things that have put me in holding cells of jails, things that I have hurt people, I have stolen, I have lied, I have manipulated. I have hurt people, my friend, intentionally and unintentionally. But the invisible would be created in life when I kneel at the altar and I begin to repent sorrowfully. And I say, God, I am sorry that I have sinned. You say, Brother Main, that does not make me invisible. No, but it makes you superhuman. Because God will never baptize you in the Holy Ghost without being clean. And you shall receive power. Sis, wouldn't it be so cool? Like, what would be one of like your superpowers that you would have? Do you know one? No. Sis, if you had a superpower, what would be your superpower? You ain't got one? What would be yours? Anybody? You don't have one? Oh, you have one. What would be yours? To fill things up. I always wanted to be invisible. Brother Crosswhite, to some people tonight this is elementary. But I'm telling you, there was never a time in my life that I have ever felt like nobody else in the world mattered. Brother Butler, when I went to the Lord, and every time I go to the altar and I begin to let tears flow. We've been evangelizing 5 years this month. And I can still kneel at an altar. I have been in church 18 years, and I can still kneel at an altar every day and say, God, I'm sorry. And guess what happens every time? God don't take out this big rod and he don't smack me with it because I'm not good enough. Every time, Brother Crosswhite, that I wanted to be invisible, you know all I really wanted. All I really wanted was a hug. It may seem foolish to some of you, but if you've ever been in an abusive background, a hug is everything. It's security. And every time, Brother Watson, that I go to the altar, I'm laying sin down and I am laying things down that you can't do for me. And then I feel that hug of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many of you could testify tonight what I'm talking about. And if you think this is foolish tonight, I'm not sorry. But you go to the altar and you say, God, everything that is in me that's not of you, I'm sorry. I'm asking you to forgive me. God, I need you more than ever right now. And then I will simply say, oh God, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. And God, anything that would separate me. And I feel that hug. There's people in this building tonight. It's easy to look right, but it's hard to bear the fruit. What? You know how I said I can become invisible? It's because when I lay the things down in repentance, he don't even remember them. He don't remember them. And so we run to the altar so often saying, oh God, forgive me. God, I messed up last week. So when I make up in my mind, I'm serve a God that loves me. Why don't you stand with me tonight? Where you are tonight, why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? Please. There was a doctor. If you would, your eyes closed tonight. There was a doctor that he contracted a disease that would eventually cause there to be gangrene in his leg. The doctor tried operations after operations, many failed. Eventually, the doctor didn't make an ultimatum because of what tormented him for years. He would become extremely ill. There'd be no hope. He went into the operation room that day. He had his mind made up. He said, I want you to amputate my leg because I want another chance. This thing has tormented me for years. This thing has caused many other health issues. And he said, I have a request tonight. And everybody in this house, please listen to me right now. And every eye closed. He said, I have a request. He said, when you cut my leg off, if you would, I want you to put it in a jar and place. I want to take it home, and that which has tormented me for years, I would like to torment it back. For months, he would laugh at it and he would taunted. But the strangest of things happened is what he refused to let go of. He became very, very overwhelmed with a phenomenon that would be called phantom limb pain. Even though the leg was gone, he was never able to get over the pain that it caused. Even though he was now in the healing process. Tonight I say to somebody this evening, with a broken but a sure heart, somebody here today that has been tormented by the past, by sin, by failure, at a place of an altar, God removes it. Now it's time that you do the same. that crushing feeling of guilt and condemnation over sins that you have committed in yesterdays. It's time to say, God, that which you have removed, I'm turning loose of. Ma'am, sir, guest, tonight, his eyes don't get to see. And for that, I will be forever thankful. I wonder if everybody in this house, whether you're a guest or whether you was raised here, I wonder if everybody could find a place to pray. If there is sin, if there is separation, if there is guilt, if there is shame, tonight I am asking you to unashamedly lift your voice and say, Jesus, I am giving you all of this. Jesus, I surrender all to you, God. I am committing myself one more time. Would you please come tonight, sir? Please. Please. Ma'am. Ma'am, please come. God, I want to grow in you. I'm asking you, yet young and old, why don't you really talk to him?
I surrender, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior.
I surrender.